If you love the national parks as much as we do, then we have a book recommendation for you.
Moon USA National Parks Hiking is a brand new guidebook from Moon Travel Guides that covers the top 100 hikes across 40 U.S. national parks.
Whether you want to descend into the Grand Canyon, stroll the shoreline in Acadia, or cling to the cliff edges in Shenandoah, Moon USA National Parks Hiking gives you the inspiration to find the perfect hike for you and the practical planning tips to make it happen. You'll find everything from easy, family-friendly hikes to strenuous, multi-day treks, plus tips for wildlife watching, backpacking, finding solitude, and more.
This book is an essential resource for National Parks fans, as well as a fantastic holiday gift for any outdoorsy people on your list.
You can find Moon USA National Parks Hiking wherever books are sold, or click the link in our show notes. And if you don't already have a copy on your shelf, be sure to also check out the original award-winning best-selling guide that started it all, Moon USA National Parks.
Find your trail and prepare for an unforgettable journey in America's top national parks with Moon Travel Guides. Moon, let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide. Hello, and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. And if you're joining the podcast for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show, while our long format episodes explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time. Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
But Trail Mix also allows us an opportunity to chat about traveling and to talk about things we're excited about when it comes to hiking, camping, and being outdoors. This episode is all about hiking in the heat. What to think about, what to do, and what not to do.
Okay, so what is a trail that you remember hiking in the heat?
Oh, it's a trail of woe for you.
Uh-huh.
It's the North Auchenbach Trail.
Yes.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Theodore Roosevelt, yep. National Park. Yes, yep. North Dakota.
In the north section.
Correct, yeah. In the north section. Mm-hmm. I remember doing that unit. One in the heat. That one was
bad.
Hot. Mm-hmm. That was a hot, hot day.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We'll get into that a little later. But I'm trying to think, what are some other trails that you remember specifically hiking in the heat? Well, a lot of our Death Valley trails were in the heat.
Right.
We did that. I mean, we're talking about that this season.
Yeah.
So definitely those. I think there was a time we were in the Smokies during the summer.
Yeah.
And it was pretty hot.
Congaree
was very hot.
Yeah.
Because we did that in the summer.
Yeah. I mean, Hawaii was fairly warm, but it wasn't like oppressive.
No, that was not an oppressive heat.
No.
And we were there in June.
Yeah.
And yeah, it wasn't so bad. But yes, we've done plenty of hiking in heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it is totally possible to hike in the heat, just like it is possible to hike in the cold or the snow. It's just a matter of precautions and about being informed. So let's talk about things to consider.
Like my therapist says, timing is everything. Hiking in hot areas is much easier if you don't hike during the hottest part of the day.
Maybe don't venture into the Grand Canyon at 1:30 in the afternoon in July.
Maybe don't hike the Golden Canyon Trail in Death Valley at 2 p.m. in the middle of August. Recipe for disaster.
We say it all the time, but hike early and hike often. Depart on a trail at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m.
Or 4 a.m.
Or 4 a.m. We've done that before.
Headlamps.
That's right. You'll be done long before the hottest part of the day.
That's right. Or hike later. An evening hike, perhaps, or maybe a night hike. There are lots of options, but making sure to avoid the hottest part of the day is the most important. When the sun is at its highest and the rays are beating down, and if you are in an area that is super exposed, it's hard to avoid things like heat exhaustion. Hike before or after midday.
Another thing to consider is where to hike. A great way to avoid hiking in the heat is to hike in locations that are not hot.
Wow, go figure.
Yep. Now, this can be applied in a number of ways if you are considering where to go. You could choose a location where you will be less affected by heat. But sometimes heat cannot be avoided on trips we take, but what is great is that this rule also applies to trails in warmer areas.
A great rule of thumb is always find the shade. Linger in the shade.
You're always lingering in the shade. Mm-hmm. always ready with a devastating comment.
I wouldn't need to be if you weren't so devastating yourself.
And therefore, exactly, linger in the shade, everyone. Now, this is seemingly obvious, but yes, shaded areas are always our friends when hiking in the heat. If there is a way to take a break, to sit in a shaded area, do it. It's always a good idea.
Another thing to consider here is elevation. There is a great rule that says it's hotter in the canyon than at the rim. This is something we've known about since our very first trip together to Zion National Park. Heat gets trapped inside of canyons, and sometimes, like in the case with Death Valley, Yosemite, and Zion, as a visitor, we begin at canyon level. And when hiking, we're headed up toward the rim level. Therefore, it gets cooler as you hike up.
This was the case for us every day in Death Valley. We hiked there in April, thinking it would be cooler, but the 3 days we hiked there, they were all 100 degree days. And for the record, the day we left, it was a 70 degree day.
It's true.
And it was 70 degrees the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But this served us well. We started our hikes very early and made sure to be heading up in elevation during our hikes.
There's a rule of thumb that's like for every 1,000 feet of elevation gain, you lose like 2 or 3 degrees of temperature. So that is something to also think about too, especially if you're looking at temps and you know that your hike either starts way up elevated, the temperature might be a different reading at that higher elevation than it is, let's say, on the canyon level or on the flat. So you can always consider that it will be a little cooler. And then if you're gaining more elevation, you're likely to also find yourself a little cooler than what it may be registering at a much lower elevation. Another great thing to do is to hike near water. Even if the water source is a small stream, we would often dip our hats into water and throw them on to let us cool off. You can also do this with bandanas and clothing too.
We recently also did this in North Cascades, and it was super helpful, especially on some of the trails we did there. Also, glacial runoff water is very cold, so it makes for an even cooler experience.
Speaking of clothing, let's talk about what to wear.
So obviously, there are some really great rules when it comes to clothing, right? It's like, you know, wear lighter colors, wear things that are like a little bit looser, maybe not as tight. Mm-hmm. What are things you like to do and things you like to wear and serve you well when hiking in the heat?
Well, it's tankinis all the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tankinis.
A tankini.
That's right.
I have recently, prior to our trip to Death Valley this past spring, in the spring of 2025, was out visiting a friend in Joshua Tree. And he introduced me to hooded sun shirts, which are really great because they really do a good job at keeping you warm if you need to be warm, but also A, keeping the sun off, or B, I should say, keeping the sun off, and C, also kind of keeping you cool. I found, especially if they were lighter colored sun shirts, they managed to keep me cooler.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a practice that I've adopted. And it's something I would even say could probably be adopted to like just being on the beach in the summer too.
Right.
Yeah.
And those sun shirts are made of fabric that block the sunlight, mm-hmm. you know, protecting your skin. Certainly. And so they have like some UV protection there.
Yeah, I think it's like UPF instead of SPF.
Yeah,
but UPF. Sometimes there are shirts or clothing that has SPF in it as well.
That's right. Yeah. Let's talk about cotton real quick, because mm-hmm. I feel like this is such a debated topic. Mm-hmm. So cotton can be great to wear on a trail because cotton retains moisture. That's sort of like the sticking point. So for example, you're on a trail wearing a cotton t-shirt and you sweat a lot. All that sweat is going to get absorbed into the cotton shirt. Now, of course, it might smell, but as you continue to go, as the cotton shirt starts to dry off and release, like it will keep you cool because that is now like a wet piece of fabric that you're wearing. And so it will naturally also help keep you cool. So cotton in some ways can be really great for that reason.
For day hiking.
For camping and backpacking. Cotton, different. Not so much because it's going to then smell.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier for that to just be like a harder thing to wear again because of that reason.
Right.
Right. So a lot of people just say no to cotton altogether. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I don't wear cotton on the trails. Mm-mmm. I don't.
Something moisture wicking.
I do wear a moisture wicking situation.
Yeah.
But the whole like dipping the hat in water thing, dipping the bandana in water, that is something I'm doing all the time now.
Oh, yeah.
I love doing that. It's so easy. And also sun hats.
Sun hats is where it's at.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We have sun hats. We keep them in our
bag.
They
fold down. Yeah. They're like a loose fabric sun hat.
They're also a moisture wicking fabric.
And a UPF fabric too.
That's right.
So, yeah, those definitely help to keep the sun off and to also give you a little bit of relief because you're actually shading your face as opposed to just wearing a ball cap, which is not necessarily getting all parts of your head and neck, but maybe just the front of your face, depending on the directionality of the sun.
Now let's talk about gear. This is also connected to water. Having enough water is key when hiking in the heat. Wearing a hydration pack is extremely helpful. We both have water bladders or hydration packs in our bags all the time. Plus, we have extra water bottles in there just in case too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've also recently, because of a beautiful genius, have gotten collapsible water bottles, which make the process of carrying water with us and then making that bottle less bulky all the better because it collapses.
Right. That's right. If you're hearing, I don't know, like a compliment, like a distant compliment of self happening right now, that's what's going on.
Uh-huh. Well, because I was kind and bought them for us and you're like, what is this? What's this good for even? I don't even know. It just folds down.
That is exactly how I said it.
What is this? It doesn't, what does it matter? What is not a safe saving? What am I safe spacing? What space is being saved here?
No, you gotta get it wrong again.
Like what am I safe spacing?
What am I space safing?
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We also pack electrolytes, and that is always very helpful. We always have some form of electrolytes in our bag, and having a spare water bottle makes mixing the electrolytes into liquid much easier. Never put anything but water into your hydration pack because cleaning that out, not great.
No.
You can speak from experience there.
I can.
Yeah.
I used to put powdered electrolytes into my hydration pack and there were like colonies, things that grew in there, and not a good idea.
No.
Bad idea.
Bad.
Let's talk about water temperature and preferences because you and I differ here.
We do. Two paths divulged. No.
Divulged. Two paths divulged in the wood. We stood there and we were like, I gotta
tell me
you
more.
About my feelings right now.
Stop safe spacing.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So you like room temperature water.
I do. I am like, ice is not typically something that I go
like
for.
Ice cold water.
You do.
So what I want to know is, why do you like your water hot?
It's not hot. That is a mischaracterization of my water temperature. Your Honor, she's
that
reaching.
That is a mischaracterization of my water temperature. I cannot believe she said that. How dare you accuse me of hot water?
Uh-huh. Because
you
got
do.
Wet.
You drink hot water.
I do.
Your water
is hot.
I do
not drink hot water.
You do. You're
I
like,
don't.
It might as well be microwaved.
I don't drink hot water.
You
I drink,
love water I, that's warm.
I like water that comes out of the spout at a cold temperature, but I do not need it to be glacially cold.
You like to leave your filtered water on your...
That's absolutely not true. It's
counter.
In the fridge.
It's now in the fridge, but before...
So again, a mischaracterization of the witness.
You used to
strike
leave
it from
it
the record,
on
Your Honor.
Your counter at room temperature.
Sure.
Because that's what you preferred. And I was always like, I cannot get a glass of cold water around here for to save my life.
No.
I would have to like put a bunch of ice into a glass and then get some. I mean, my life is so hard.
I right? know. Look at you.
But
there is a castle on a cloud.
You now put your water filter in the fridge. Mm-hmm. So the water comes out cold anyway, which I love.
Yeah.
I do love that.
Great.
And I prefer it. But... So why is it that you like your water hot?
I like my water at room temperature because I find that even though cold water is very refreshing, at least when I'm hiking, I find that really cold water makes me sweat more. And because it, I feel like it shocks my system into like release. And so I like a room temperature because I feel like I don't have that. I don't like to sweat.
But it's don't you love the shock? Don't
no.
you want the shock
no.
to your system?
No.
Don't you want to feel?
I don't want to feel anything ever.
I know. I really like the cold water.
Well, good
I want
for
you. That ice cold
like your
water.
Veins.
Yeah, exactly.
Ice cold.
And my attitude.
Uh-huh.
Hey, y'all. It's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes, in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! Having enough water while hiking in the heat is important, but it means nothing if you forget to drink it. We are sometimes very guilty of this.
Cut to both of us in North Cascades recently, getting to the end of the day going, oh, we drank so much water on the trails today. Our bladders are not even halfway full anymore, and we pull them out, and they are basically still
to fault. The top, yeah,
like almost to the top.
Yeah. That now, is that is a shame game. I feel like that
it is
we've
that
adopted
is, we
where
have.
It's like, oh, how who won the water race here?
But note, we also have water bottles that we have
do.
Completed, mm-hmm. so it's not like
we
only
drank
a
yet.
Tiny little
yeah.
bit of water on like an 8-hour hike or
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah. A good rule to follow is to take a few swigs of water every 15 minutes. That will keep you constantly hydrated throughout your hike. You want to avoid dehydration at all costs. So doing this and being strategic about taking electrolytes will help you to do this.
And if you were like me and you have to pee all the time, keeping tabs of when you pee is important. You'll need to rehydrate after peeing so that you can also avoid dehydration.
Not something I ever have to worry about.
No, because you just hold it all in
like
out
my
of
emotions.
Trauma.
Yep, that's it. And let's talk about food.
Let's talk about food. Uh-huh.
We always pack at least a couple of sandwiches and plenty of trail snacks with us. Food is also an important part of the regimen here. Food gives us energy. Hiking exerts energy. Food is a way of putting energy back into our bodies.
And one of the best ways to stay hydrated while hiking is to drink water before starting the trails. This is something we do all the time. We drink water before we get started and also take some electrolytes before we start. The more you can prevent yourself from becoming thirsty, the better.
Don't wait for your body to tell you that it needs water. Keep up the hydration and be ahead of the thirst.
Insert all of the jokes here about the word thirst and thirsty, because there was no way to avoid the section without the word thirsty.
Quench your thirst.
Okay, so let's talk sunscreen. Now, obviously, hiking in the heat. The heat is often caused by being in the exposed sun.
Right.
So that requires sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your sunscreen practices?
So sunscreen for me, if I'm wearing my sun shirt, I find that to be very helpful because it is less body area that needs to be covered. Face always has sunscreen on it. Legs always have sunscreen on it. Hands as well. And I am a reapplier at least every hour and a half. It just depends on how I'm feeling. If I'm feeling like we've got a lot of sun exposure, then I'm definitely putting on more sunblock, especially if the sun is bouncing off of snow or any sort of reflective surface that's light like sand or salt flats. It's a good idea to just put more sunblock on than you think you need to. What about you?
I do the same, right? And we wear SPF 50 all the time. The only sort of thing I do intentionally, you do sometimes, is mineral sunscreen. Mineral sunscreen is great because I find that it burns less if it gets in the eye.
See, I feel like we had a really bad experience that one time, and I have not since had that experience, and I haven't used mineral sunscreen. So I feel like we were also a victim of allergies.
There was one brand of sunscreen that we had, and it's where when you put it on your forehead, right? You're going to sweat. It's going to drip into your eyes. And we had this one brand that we were using that was otherwise fine, mm-hmm. but then it got into our eyes and it was horrible.
Right.
Like had to get like eye drops because it was so bad. This is going on in Big Bend. It was awful. So we did get different sunscreen to try and it did improve it. Mm-hmm. Since then, what I've done is I do buy the tiny little, like they look like deodorant sticks, like facial sticks of
sunblock.
Mineral sunblock to put on my forehead specifically. And I only do it for there so that I don't have that experience again.
At all times, you want to avoid heat exhaustion and heat stroke. These are different things. We did an entire Tromex on heat exhaustion that we definitely recommend, but here is a shortcut to noticing the signs.
Heat exhaustion looks like dizziness, heavy sweating, fatigue, nausea, headache, and a rapid pulse. If these are the symptoms, the remedies are getting out of the heat, immediately rehydrating, and cooling off.
Heat stroke, on the other hand, is a serious medical situation that has similar symptoms and also includes a throbbing headache, confusion, feeling disoriented, anxiety, and a body temp of over 104 degrees Fahrenheit, like our commander-in-chief. If this is the case, then treating this means laying a hiker down in a cool, shaded spot, laying them in water if that is available, because the goal is to immediately and aggressively lower the body temperature. If not possible, rapid evacuation is recommended.
So heat stroke and heat exhaustion are real.
Right.
What has been our experience with that?
You had a little bit of heat stroke.
Oh,
I'm sorry. You had a little bit of heat exhaustion.
Correct. It was not heat stroke. It was heat exhaustion.
Yeah.
On that North Achenbach Trail.
It's true.
I mean, I would say the things I experienced, which were on here, were like the heavy sweating, the dizziness, and the fatigue. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't nauseous and I didn't have a headache, but I just like could not go on.
Yeah.
Like feeling like a little bit faint.
Yeah. We found you some shade.
And it wasn't much, but we found some.
I dumped some water onto your buff.
Yeah.
And we put that on your head, and that, I think we put some water on your head too.
You just dumped some water right on my head, and that helped a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we...
You didn't melt like I expected, though.
Well, you know.
That's when you cut to the line from The Villager in Wicked.
Like some terrible green wizard, throughout the land she flies. That one.
No, the one about, so her soul is so awful that pure water can melt her.
Pure water can melt her.
What?
Melt her. Somebody go and melt her. You're welcome. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Part two coming out this year.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. Yeah, so we did. And then we did end that hike. We had to go back. We were going to do this like...
Epic.
We'd already kind of done an epic like thus far. We'd probably done like 5 miles at that point.
Yeah.
And we were going to sign up to do like another...
It was going to be 13, I think, 10, in total.
Yes, that was it. So we had like maybe 6 to add on. Like we were going to basically go across a field and back.
And we pulled the plug real quick.
We had to turn around because it was like, no. Okay, heat exhaustion is real.
And it was good that we recognized it.
Yeah.
Yep.
We did. And there is a thing where you could overhydrate. It's incredibly rare. But I think as long as everybody is having the swigs at least every 15-ish minutes.
If you're having the swigs every 15
then you're
minutes.
In a good place.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, so that you can avoid heat exhaustion and then certainly heat stroke.
The sources for today's episode include the American Hiking Society and the National Outdoor Leadership School.
And now let's end this episode with some Jeopardy-style trivia. Are we ready to end this with a game?
We are, always.
Okay, great. So, this Jeopardy-style trivia is called Before and After the Heat.
Great.
Each answer is going to feature the word hot.
Mm.
Are you ready?
I am.
So a before and after category is like two phrases.
Carrie
that share
Washington
a word.
Monument.
Carrie Washington Monument. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So here we go for 100. This term for a feline living on the streets and the Tennessee Williams play about Maggie and her husband Brick and their separate relationships with his friend Skipper.
What is alley cat on a hot tin roof?
Correct. Chimler. I would have also accepted stray cat on a hot tin roof.
Mm-hmm.
For 200. This phrase was trademarked and iconically spoken by Paris Hilton, along with this British cop comedy from the creators of Shaun of the Dead.
What is That's Hot Fuzz?
Correct.
I don't have a good carrot, Paris Hilton.
That's hot.
That's hot.
That's pretty good.
That's hot.
Leaning into That's Muppet,
hot.
Which I think is, That's I think she is a Muppet. Okay, for That's 300, you're going to have to stop. You got to stop. Because you're wow. leaning into like no Gone. Dana, only Zool. For 300, this mid-aughts comedy film about a jacuzzi that also serves as a portal and this blonde American rapper.
What is Hot Tub Time Machine Gun Kelly?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
For 400, this iconic comedy film starring Jack Lemmon and Marilyn Monroe that sounds like some people's preference for pizza and this warmed, sweet winter drink beverage, sometimes served with tiny marshmallows.
What is Some Like It Hot Chocolate?
That is correct. But you like your pizza to be
cold.
Out of the freezer.
Ugh, not out of the freezer. Fridge.
Yeah. You like your Fridge water cold. Hot and your pizza freezing. And for 500.
That's what I'm putting in my dating profiles now.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
For 500, this brilliant indie comedy about summer camp counselors with a now A-list roster of actors, including Amy Poehler, Bradley Cooper, Paul Rudd, Molly Shannon, and more, and this iconic group song duet from Grease.
What is Wet Hot American Summer Lovin'?
Close. The title of the song from Grease is close, but not right. But oh,
what is Wet Hot American Summer Nights?
There you go.
Nights!
Well, now we have to do it like Gollum. No.
But hot
summer. No, no.
Those summer
nights. Tell me more. Tell me more.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.